Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, breaking news out of Minneapolis. Five Black Lives Matter protesters have been shot by three white men at a protest where they were protesting police who shot and killed a black man. And so we'll give you the latest on that. Also, he's one of the biggest conservative pundits in the nation, and he's also an African-American sheriff. Right here on News One Now, I will go one-on-one with Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark to talk about his hatred of Black Lives Matter and why he says there is no longer police brutality in America. Also, we'll talk with a professor at Brown University about that, their efforts to spend $100 million over the next decade to improve race relations on campus. Also, what in the world is going on with Donald Trump continuing to disrespect black voters? Now he's posting false stats about homicides involving African Americans that came from a neo-Nazi. We'll break it all down right here on News One Now on TV One. Folks, some breaking news out of Minneapolis. Five protesters last night were shot. They had been demonstrating since 24-year-old Jamar Clark was shot and killed by white police officers Mark Ringenberg and Dustin Schwartz earlier this month. Witnesses say Clark was handcuffed at the time. And what took place last night is that the protesters were leading three masked men away from the protest. And all of a sudden, shots rang out in an alley. And all five were injured. Now, none of the injuries are life-threatening, but no one has been arrested so far, and police are still interviewing witnesses. And again, according to reports right now, three who were wearing masks were being led away by protesters. Protesters were observing them and said that they were acting strangely and led them away from the Jamar Clark protesters. Again, shots rang out. Five protesters have been shot. Again, not life-threatening. And so we'll give you more details as soon as they become available. All across the country, beyond what's happening in Minneapolis, we see it taking place in Cleveland as well. We can go to New York, where Black Lives Matter protesters are demanding accountability from police all across this nation. Well, one of the biggest critics of Black Lives Matter has been Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. He's often been on Fox News, CNN, and other networks criticizing their tactics and even blasting them and saying that they don't deserve any protection whatsoever when it comes to when they're out there protesting. Right now on News One Now, Sheriff Clark joins us. So, Sheriff, we certainly appreciate you joining us on TV One's News One Now. I want to do a couple of things here. First off, one of the big stories that we are seeing right now is coming out of Chicago, where Laquan McDonald, October 20th, 2014, shot 16 times by police officers then. For the last year, protesters have been saying, look, release the evidence. What's going on? No action taken. Then they sue to get the tape released. Chicago fought it. Then last week, a judge said, release the tape, November 25th. Now, the Chicago Sun-Times is reporting that officer is going to be charged today, a day before the tape is going to be released. This is a perfect example where officials in Chicago were not going to move on this were it not for Black Lives Matter protesters. And so, why are you so against Black Lives Matter protesters demanding accountability from police across America?
Well, first of all, good morning to you and good morning to your listeners. This is the first time that I'm appearing on your program. I think it would be appropriate to start with an introduction of myself before we start getting into that sort of thing. I'm a four-time elected sheriff of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. It's a county of about 1 million people, a diverse community here. As a matter of fact, my last election last November, I won because black vote turned out and conservative vote. It was those two demographics that got me across the finish line. And that was in opposition to the white liberal movement in Milwaukee County, who tried very hard to unseat me, and they failed. I'm a 38-year law enforcement veteran, if you will. I've been in policing for 38 years, 24 years with the City of Milwaukee Police Department. The last 13 of those years have been as the elected sheriff of Milwaukee County. I hold a master's degree in security studies from the United States Naval Academy postgraduate schools, school, Monterey, California. I'm most proud of that accomplishment. I'm also a graduate of the FBI National Academy, the FBI National Executive Institute. I've attended Harvard University Kennedy School of Government for a certificate program there.
Sheriff.
And I have also, in the course of my career, received many certificates for training and achievement. So I just want to give your listeners and you, because you don't know who I am either.
Well, actually, I've already done all the research, and so I have the bio. I would more than be happy to tell our viewers to go online and certainly look at your background. And well, so I just know that we don't have the whole hour. We don't have much time, and so I just want to get right to the conversation.
Come back on the program again, but I think before we get into that, people need to know some back from me, not your sources, because I don't know what sources you looked at.
Well, actually, your bio is online, even on your own sheriff's website, but I got it. But go right.
The incident, sir, was my hatred of Black Lives Matter. When have I ever used that word in relationship to the Black Lives Matter movement? You call me a conservative, and I just have a question as to why I can't be viewed as a sovereign human being with my own point of view. I don't represent conservatives. I represent David Clark. I do represent the office of the sheriff as the elected person in this position, but I just want to know why everything that I say, think, do, opine on is inextricably always is always brought back to my race.
No. First of all, it's not back to your race. So I'll do this here. You were on Fox News where you criticized and you trashed Black Lives Matter protesters, and you use the kind of language that is perfectly clear that you do not like Black Lives Matter protesters. Is that yes or no?
Well, it's not a yes or no answer. Give me some context. What were some of the phrases or words that I used? Because I've been on a lot of TV, and people like to point out Fox News. I get invited on Fox News. I don't invite myself.
Sheriff Clark, you called Black Lives Matter protesters subhuman.
I've also been on Al Jazeera TV, by the way, so I go where I'm invited.
Sheriff Clark, did you not call Black Lives Matter activists subhuman?
Some of the language and behavior that has emanated from that group, yes, I did.
Okay, so when you say, well, I didn't call him that, but again, I'm
give you some context on this now.
But I'm asking you a question.
At these protests, kill the pigs. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it now? Fuck the police. Yes.
Okay. First of all, this is a television show, and we can't use that kind of language because of the FCC. That's first and foremost.
I referred to some of the behavior as subhuman. I'm going to give you an example. Okay. I'm not going to speak emotionally, and I'm not going to speak from anecdotes like is.
I don't recall you using that language on Fox News or CNN, and that's fine. But I want to ask you this here.
Well, probably bleeped it out because they haven't delayed.
No. Actually, when we allow television, that's not necessarily the case. But here's the question for you.
Somebody else said that wasn't my language.
Sheriff, the question I have for you: do you believe the Black Lives Matter protesters have been effective in demanding accountability by police departments nationwide? We've seen 40 new laws passed in 24 states in the past year. We see, and I gave you an example, in Chicago, for a year, 13 months, they refused to move on the officer who shot and killed Laquan McDonald. It was only after going to court, getting that tape, where the judge said release it by Wednesday, and all of a sudden, the mayor comes out and says it's a hideous video. Now, according to Chicago Sun-Times, this cop is going to be charged today. But none of that was going to happen unless they took the action. So I'm asking you, based upon this case and others across the country, do you believe that Black Lives Matter protesters have been POC have been effective in demanding transparency and accountability of police officers?
Not at all, because I think the transparency and accountability has been there through the process that we have. I don't know what's going on with that case in Chicago. I do not have all the facts, and I put that out up front. I've heard some things, I've read some things. When you start to piecemeal things like that, that's how you can misspeak and make errors. I don't know anything about an indictment coming out today. If you do, that's fine. I'll wait until this, if it's before a grand jury, I'll wait until the grand jury comes out with their decision before I answer that.
Okay. In another interview on Fox News, and guys, go ahead and play this. You said there's no police brutality in America. Can y'all go ahead and play that, please?
There is no police brutality in America. We ended that back in the 60s. So I don't know where they're coming from. You look at the data and the research, and there's a new Harvard study out that shows that there is no racism in the hearts of police officers. They go about their daily duty, if you will, to keep communities safe.
We just saw a police officer, former cop, Inkster, Michigan, who beat Floyd Dent, who planted drugs in his car. The city had to actually raise property taxes in order to pay the $1.4 million settlement. That was brutality. We had a police officer in Los Angeles who kicked a woman in her backseat. That woman later died. That cop was convicted and is now headed to prison. You said there's no racism. We had in Fort Lauderdale where they uncovered police officers who were sending racist text messages and video. San Francisco, the exact same thing. In Louisiana, you had a cop who was at a Klan rally with a Nazi salute who was fired but said he wants his job back. So when you say there's no police brutality in America, we ended that in the 60s, that's simply a lie.
Okay, define brutality for me, please.
If Floyd Dent is in his car and he is dragged out of his car and he is being beaten and pummeled by police officers, and then they plant drugs in his car and it's all captured on dash cam video, is that not brutality?
Well, first answer my question. What is your definition of brutality?
What is yours? Because I gave you examples where police officers have beaten people.
You brought the term up. Define it so that we can have a robust conversation.
How about this here? When John Burge beat the confessions out of black men in Chicago in the 80s and the 90s and sent them to prison for crimes they didn't commit, when he attached electrical cords to their genitals, that, sir, is police brutality. Did not happen in the 60s. You said ended in the 60s. Correct me if I'm wrong. Under Mayor Rizzo in Philadelphia, they had massive police brutality. Department of Justice had to come in and deal with that. In the 70s, New Orleans, the mayor, Mitch Landrieu, called in DOJ. Why? Because of police brutality. Right now, DOJ is over the Cleveland Police Department because of their actions as well. So when you say we ended police brutality in the 60s, that is simply a lie.
No, it's not. It's a profession. I stand by that statement, but you still haven't given me your definition.
So all the examples of police brutality I've cited, you say those things didn't happen?
I don't know anything about those situations. You're throwing out some things that I know nothing about.
Wait a minute. So you are unaware of the massive police brutality by the Philadelphia Police Department in the 70s. You are in Milwaukee County. You are unaware of the massive police brutality by Commander John Burge in Chicago?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I'm aware of it.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you contend there's police brutality.
Was in the 70s? I was in my teens.
No. But 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000. You said no racism among cops. If cops in Fort Lauderdale and San Francisco were sending racist text messages and racist videos, is that not racist?
I'm not going to deny any of that. I'm not going to deny any of that. I'm not going to defend the actions of people who step outside.
But you said, sir, out of your own mouth, that there's not racism in the hearts of police officers in America. That's what you said.
That's what I said. Right. Now, let's talk.
But I gave you examples where there is.
Are you going to let me get a word in edgewise?
Go right ahead.
You're just going to continue to talk over
Go
me.
Go right ahead.
If you do, then, you know, nobody's going to benefit from this conversation.
No. Go right ahead.
People to at least get the benefit of some.
Sheriff, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. What I want to do is speak from some data and research that I've seen. Okay? And this is a recent Harvard study. Now, you and I would have to...
Exactly. What's the Harvard study?
There you go again.
I'm asking you, what's the Harvard study? What is it?
There you go again. This is from the New York Times newspaper from October of 2015. And it is a Harvard study. Let's see if I can find the author of the study here. Here's his last name. And you can look it up if you want to. Mullainathin. He's a professor of economics at Harvard. Now, you and I would have to admit that Harvard is no right-wing institution, and they're no supporters of the police.
There are conservative professors at Harvard, but that is true.
There you go again.
I'm just stating a fact. There are conservative professors at Harvard.
Let me talk, or are you just going to continue?
Okay. All right, go right ahead.
Do that. Then I can just sit here.
Go right ahead.
Okay. But here's what he found in his study. And what's interesting about this study is he thought he would find that racial bias exists as an institution in policing. But in fact, and this is a line out of the story, what the data does suggest is that eliminating the biases of all police officers would do little to materially reduce the total number of African-American killings. That's just one such study. There's also another study.
So you do admit there's racial bias?
From the University of Toledo. I'm just telling you what the data says.
But you admit there is racial bias.
And I'm trying to, as we go along here, do all the reading of any research that would suggest anything that you or Black Lives Matter is intimating, and I'm not finding any. There's another... study. This is a recent one too. University of Toledo, Dr. Timothy Johnson, and it's a database study. But he looked at the police-related killings between 2009 and 2012, and there were 1,491 persons that died from police use of force from 2009 to 2012. Of that, 61.4% of those killed by police and legal interventions were white. Let me say that again. 61.4%. 32% were Black males, and then it breaks down the rest, males of other races. So by a two to one margin, more whites are killed by police officers in police contact than Black males.
How many whites are there in America? What? Blacks make up 13% of Americans? Are there more whites in America than Black?
Well, that's kind of an interesting...
Okay, well, here's the deal, Sheriff. I got to go to a break. We've gone about 17 minutes. I'm going to go to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation. I'm talking to Sheriff David Clark, Milwaukee County Sheriff. We're talking about Black Lives Matter, police brutality, and hopefully, we'll get some more answers to a lot of your questions next on News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
A year ago, Eric Garner was killed by New York police officers. He was actually choked to death. That was the ruling of the medical examiner. A father of six was being accosted by cops, allegedly for selling loose cigarettes. This set off a firestorm in New York. That's the video there. The police officer was not indicted by the Staten Island DA. I want to go back to Sheriff David Clark, who is my guest right now. Sheriff Clark, when you testified before Congress and you were asked about that, you said that Eric Garner died because of a pre-existing condition, asthma. But that wasn't true. The actual ruling from the medical examiner was that he died as a result of that particular chokehold. Do you believe that what took place in the Eric Garner death, that was wrongful behavior by New York police officers, how Eric Garner was choked and killed?
No, I don't. Not under the rule of law. But let me correct you on something that you said that just simply is not true. We're really going to deal with facts here.
Okay.
And I know facts can be an uncomfortable thing, but whether we're going to deal with facts or we're going to deal with myths and propaganda. Eric Garner's death was ruled a homicide. But you know what? That's a manner of death. All right? There's suicide is a manner of death, natural causes, homicide, and then there's unexplained. Okay, those are
But the medical examiner ruled it was a homicide.
He ruled it was a homicide.
But right. But when you were asked under oath by Congress, you said it was because of his asthma.
Died of a heart attack on the way to the hospital. Now, there is no doubt. There is no doubt that that physical exertion that he had, he was in poor health, that physical exertion did contribute to that heart attack. But that does not mean that the NYPD officers...
Are you a licensed medical professional?
No, I'm not. I'm a career law enforcement. Are you a licensed
medical professional? No, because I actually listen to the licensed medical professional. And if the licensed medical professional, the medical examiner, ruled it a homicide, he stated exactly what it is. And so when you said, well, it was because of his asthma, well, that was simply incorrect. It was incorrect.
First of all, I didn't say asthma. He died of a heart attack. Okay. He didn't die of asthma. But those were some of the things that the medical examiner pointed out.
I asked you earlier about this.
Let's talk about.
I asked you earlier about Black Lives Matter. And again, I've listened to numerous interviews.
The map here, and it's very hard to get out any coherent thoughts when you're going to jump all over the map.
I'm not. I've been very consistent.
We're talking about Eric Garner, and now we're back to Black.
Because I still never got out of you
a definition of brutality.
Yes, because Black Lives Matter protesters, they were involved in what took place with Eric Garner. And then you also, of course, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
First of all, sir.
Sheriff Clark.
When the Eric Garner thing happened, there was no such thing as Black Lives Matter.
Actually, you're wrong, sir. Sheriff Clark.
It emanated out of Ferguson.
Sheriff Clark, you're absolutely wrong. Black Lives Matter, that. Sheriff Clark, you read off for 3 minutes your bio. Let me give you facts. So you have them. So the next time you go on television, you have it. Sheriff Clark.
We can both agree on.
Sheriff Clark. After George Zimmerman was found not guilty of killing Trayvon Martin,
George Zimmerman.
I am giving you, Sheriff.
Ask your question though.
Sheriff, I'm giving you factual information.
It's very hard to have a coherent conversation when you're going to jump all over the map.
Sheriff Clark. Allow me to say this.
George Zimmerman was not a police.
Sheriff Clark, allow me to say this. So you
even bring his name up.
I bring it up because you said Black Lives Matter didn't exist until Ferguson, and you're wrong. In 2013, after George Zimmerman, Sheriff Clark, can you just 30 seconds?
Black Lives Matter is an offshoot of the lie of hands up, don't shoot.
Sheriff Clark,
don't say it existed in Ferguson.
Sheriff Clark, give me 30 seconds.
Black Lives Matter did not exist.
Give me 30 seconds.
Ferguson, Missouri.
Sheriff Clark, give me 30 seconds.
Talk facts.
Sheriff Clark, I'm gonna give you 30 seconds, and this is all it's gonna take. Alicia Garza wrote a Facebook post, hashtag Black Lives Matter.
If you listen,
you will have the facts. After George Zimmerman was found not guilty, she wrote a Facebook post using the hashtag Black Lives Matter in 2013. It was at that point where it began to be used. Then in 2013, then in 14, then in 15. So factually, you are wrong.
Someone posts hashtag on their Facebook, and all of a sudden that becomes the standard now,
actually,
right?
But no, that's actually how
I
it started.
I never heard Black Lives Matter mentioned during the Ferguson situation.
Because
everybody had the T-shirts made up of hands up, don't shoot, which was a lie.
Okay. But Sheriff,
I'm not suggesting nobody ever used the phrase. I'm talking about as a political construct because that's what it is today.
Actually, it evolved.
It didn't exist because someone engages in hashtag activism. Fine, but that's not proof of anything.
The proof is there, but that's fine. But let me ask you this question here, and that is this here: when we look at what's happening around this country, we look at the Walter Scott case, where a police officer shot and killed Walter Scott, was charged with murder. He lied on the police report, and he said that he administered first aid when he didn't.
Okay.
Do you believe that, and first of all, that was videotaped. Do you believe that one of the calls of Black Lives Matter, do you believe that every law enforcement agency in America should be required to wear body cameras?
I don't speak for every law enforcement agency in America. I think that there is a use of that technology in the profession of law enforcement, but I'm not going to say what every law enforcement agency should do.
Does your department have widespread?
I'm trying to get to it.
Okay.
You know, it really gets annoying, if you will, if you don't let me. You know, if you don't keep your mouth closed enough, long
I was just asking. Does your sheriff's department have body cameras?
There you go again. Just wait to hear the end of one of my sentences.
Well, but you're filibustering. But go. Do you have body cameras in the police sheriff's department?
There you go again.
Are you answering the question
about the body camera? I'm answering a question.
Okay.
You ask, and then you cut me off in the middle of it. We are in the midst right now, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, of running a pilot program with the use of body cameras that we will ultimately do a full deployment of. Okay, that was your question.
And how, what's the pilot program? How many folks are wearing the cameras?
Approximately 50.
About 50, and you have a total number of personnel in your department?
About 300 sworn.
And when do you think, how long is the pilot program?
We don't have a time frame on it.
So it might be 3 months, 6 months, a year?
When I think we have enough data, I don't see it being, I don't know that it'd be a year. We still haven't formed the policy yet. You can't just slap body cameras on people and send them out in the field, okay? It seems it's something that simple, but there's costs involved. There's
policy, of course.
There's privacy rights. There's a lot to sift through. And I want to do this right. I don't want to do this half-cocked. So that 2 years, 3 years from now, all we end up doing is a trade-off, and we end up with unintended consequences.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sheriff.
I like to take my time, and I like to do things right.
I hope you've seen that study out of Rialto, California, when they used body cameras there, and they showed that it caused a significant drop, more than 70% of complaints against police when it comes to excessive force, but also it dropped the number of times where the officers said they were also attacked, and so it helped the citizens as well as it helped the cops. I'm going to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about police accountability in America with Sheriff David Clark right here on News 1 Now on TV One.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now on TV One. I'm talking with Sheriff David Clark. He is the sheriff in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Sheriff, when we look across this country right now, when we hear the phrase protect and serve, that is about police officers protecting, serving its citizens. Yet, when I talk to many officers, they talk about the blue wall, and that is officers protecting and serving themselves. In New York, they instituted a new policy where they require every police officer to report the use of excessive force, and even if you witness it, you have to report it, and if you don't, you face a disciplinary action, including up to termination. When it comes to accountability, is that the kind of policies that are needed to ensure that that citizens do not have their rights violated?
Well, first of all, I don't know what New York has as a policy. That's always been a policy. The Milwaukee Police Department, the city of Milwaukee Police, where I spent 24 years, and it's always been the policy of the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office as long as I've been the sheriff of Milwaukee County. You know, you threw out some names before. You threw out the name of Eric Garner. You talked of George Zimmerman, and you mentioned a few others. You know who Layla Peterson is?
Who's that?
Do you know who Tyshawn Lee is?
I know who Tyshawn Lee is. Do you know who Rekia Boyd is?
Do you know who
Rekia Boyd is?
Do you know who Tony Kester Brown is?
Don't know who Tony Brown is.
Do you know who Elliot McKenzie is?
Don't know, but I know who Clarence Brantley is. Clarence Brantley was a man who was actually sent to death row and was within 2 hours of being executed for a crime he didn't commit because prosecutors and a judge covered up evidence. That man was almost executed. Here's my whole point, Sheriff. You can name people.
Wait a minute, Sheriff.
You can name people who've been killed.
You haven't heard my main point.
What's your main point?
Names, because you brought those names up, and this is just in relation to the names that you brought up.
Go ahead.
Layla Peterson, a 4-year-old black girl, was shot as she sat on her grandfather's lap when a drive-by shooting occurred and shots were fired into the home.
And I want those individuals arrested and prosecuted.
A 9-year-old, but let me get to the point here, okay?
Go ahead, get to the point.
Sean Lee, a 9-year-old who was lured into an alley yes. by his grandmother home and shot multiple times in a gang yes. type.
And we've covered it on this show.
Okay. I'm not saying you didn't. Jamila Bolden, it was a 9-year-old girl who was shot and killed in her home, in her grandmother's home, as she sat on the bed doing homework.
Right. And I also hope you add Ayanna Jones, who was shot and killed in bed by Detroit police officer when his gun went off. But he, of course, was not prosecuted. But go right ahead.
It really was. Anyway, Tony Brown, a 7-year-old shot in the head.
I got it, Sheriff. But what's your point? I mean, here's my point. I got about 2 minutes. And so you're reading the names.
Good stuff in, though.
And I've covered many of those. But go ahead.
Chance. To get some of my points in, okay?
No, but Sheriff, go first of all.
Come back on, and we can continue this conversation.
Sheriff, you open up with a 4-minute bio, and you're complaining about not getting your statements
way
out.
To introduce yourself to an audience who may not anything about.
No, Sheriff, my audience knows a lot about you. You want to make a point about those names there? Go right. What's your point about those names?
Anyway, in this study that I referred to before at the University of Toledo, between 2009 and 2012. 56,259 homicides occurred.
Yep.
19,000 plus were the killings of black males. That's 33.8%.
Gotcha.
You asked me before about the white representation in the population. If we're if the black representation in the population in the U.S. is at 13%, we are way overrepresented in terms of being homicide victims, correct?
Yes.
And would you agree that it is true that most of these criminal homicides, and I'm going to say it's around 93% because that's what this study says, were committed on black individuals
yes.
by black individuals?
And in fact, and also according to Vox.com, 84% of whites who have been killed were killed by whites. Because right. the reality is when people are killed, it's largely where you live. So blacks kill blacks, white
and
kills white, kills whites.
But that talking point doesn't hold any water.
No, it's a fact.
Talking about whites.
It's a fact.
What we're talking about here is that blacks are overrepresented as homicide victims.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Why are we not talking about that?
But no, sir, that's where you're wrong. See, I need you to understand something, okay? This is a black show on a black network, which we talk about 5 days a week.
Talking about the black
because Sheriff Clark,
it's the elephant in the room.
No, Sheriff.
And it dismissed.
Sheriff, first of all, there's no elephant in this room because you know what? We deal with it. The reason we discuss these other issues is because you, sir, when you have gone on Fox and CNN, you've spoken.
6,000 homicides between 2009 and 2012. 2.5% were the
Sheriff
result
Clark.
Of issues of force.
Sheriff Clark, this is very simple. Sheriff Clark, this is very simple. You've been on Fox News.
Matter.
Sheriff Clark, you've been on Fox News.
Force for good in the United States of America, here's what they would be protesting. They would be protesting the fact that in this economy, blacks can't find meaningful work.
And they are. Wait, hold up. Sheriff Clark, they are. If you go to campaignzero.org, they are. Sheriff Clark.
2% black male unemployment.
Sheriff Clark.
That's obscene.
Sheriff Clark, and they are. Sheriff Clark, here's the deal.
It's about 13, 14%.
Sheriff Clark, the reality is here. They are talking about those issues.
Black Lives Matter would be protesting if they really.
They are.
A force for good.
They are.
Protesting the fact that black kids have to be shackled to failing K-12
they are.
Schools throughout the United
do
States.
Do you know that DeRay McKesson, who is one of the leaders, is a Teach for America graduate? Do you know that Brittany Packney is a teach? See, Sheriff.
Voice program.
Sheriff.
And in the voucher program.
Sheriff.
For those parents who want their kids to break out of this
Sheriff
cycle
Clark.
Of poverty.
Sheriff Clark.
Potential to reach their God-given
Sheriff Clark,
potential.
Sheriff Clark, let me help you with something. Sheriff Clark, this is real simple. First of all, I'm out of time. I got to tell you this here. You got leaders in Black Lives Matter who are former teachers, who are current teachers. What you're talking about, they're actually doing. So here's what I suggest. I suggest
the nation's report card. Just
you know what? I will be happy.
Weeks ago,
I will be happy to set up a meeting with you and them, so you can actually hear.
The gap is widening.
Sheriff Clark. Sheriff Clark, you're talking to a school choice supporter. Okay.
Failing.
Sheriff.
Scores are still near the.
Sheriff,
bottom.
Here's the deal.
Working on it.
Sheriff.
Working on the failure or. What?
Sheriff, you're talking to a school choice supporter, somebody who believes in vouchers and charter schools and traditional schools. So you got the wrong one here. Look, we'll schedule another interview. We'll certainly have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us. We're simply out of time. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure, Joe.
We come back. We'll talk with our panel about this conversation, but also Donald Trump retweeting untrue murder stats, which you just heard from Sheriff Clark back on News 1 Now TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, let's go right to our panel. I don't have much of a voice left, so let me go right to our panel joining me right now. Of course, we have Drew Elons here. Quite interesting there. We got Michael, Lauren Coates. How y'all doing?
Good.
How you doing?
How you doing?
So, I'm going to go ahead and drink some hot water, lemon, and honey. What y'all make of what y'all just saw and heard?
We were in the green room looking at each other like side eye and trying to wave the fan for you, because what it seemed to me was very apparent is that while he had introduced as not wanting to have anecdotal evidence, he not only had nothing but anecdotal evidence, it was inaccurate information. There was not a basis to have the type of productive conversation that he thought he was having in his head, because he did not have the facts to support his arguments. And we were talking about, frankly, his argument could have been credible had it been that the police that are involved in these homicides and these crimes may be the minority, according to his viewpoint, but he did not convey that appropriately. In fact, it's the same argument that people are failing to make, which is the Black Lives Matter movement and the police movement have a similar viewpoint, which is nobody wants to be judged by the aberrations.
I agree, Roland, and I think when you're talking about these things, you have to approach it from a purely rational perspective when you start introducing facts and statistics. Mm-hmm. And as you clearly stated, police cameras, California, for example, that should be something that law enforcement supports, because not only does it protect the individual, but it protects law enforcement from individuals saying, hey, you guys are guilty. Hey, you guys are careless. Hey, you guys use excessive force, etc. So that's something that should be universally accepted. Again, I think the facts that the sheriff stated, and we have no way of verifying where those sources came from, I think there were facts that suited his argument and his position. And I always attempt to approach every situation methodically, objectively, and from a place of reason. And I think when you allow emotions, which was clear based on the conversation that I, not from your behalf, on the sheriff's behalf, when you place come from a place of emotion, it's very, very easy to choose facts, statistics, data, etc., that suits your position.
I don't think he
almost when you open up. When he is trashed, Black Lives Matter,
right?
At every juncture, call them subhuman,
right?
Even said when they were protesting in New York that the cops should not protect them, leave them to own devices, let the people go after them.
Even compared them to ISIS, which I thought was absolutely. Yes.
But he said, "No, I don't hate them." Wow.
Right.
You know what? My position on this is that there you cannot have a rational conversation with someone who is irrational. And it wasn't around him having any stated facts. He was really, or emotion actually, he was really spewing rhetoric. And when you don't have anything but something rhetorical that you've heard and you've just decided that you want to harp on, then you cannot come back and have a in-depth conversation that's going to be able to be thought provoking and bring forth anything. So for me, it was his own perspective. When I read the article about him, I became a little concerned about those citizens in his community. They do support him. Obviously, he won his re-election, but when you have someone who thinks this particular way and then always want to come back with something else, you all doing the name calling, it was just like, what was that about? It never really amounted to anything.
Right,
it was just a complete waste of time.
And let me be real clear for me. I have numerous black conservatives on this show.
I'm a Republican.
I don't care. I don't care if you are a black conservative or a black Republican.
Right.
What I do care is when you go on television and you throw stuff out and you don't get challenged.
Right.
And the reality is when he goes on Fox News, and the reason I think he was getting perturbed is that I was not going to allow the lie to stay.
Well, Fox News is a softball, Roland, and frankly, we're trying to have a conversation, but what I didn't find him to be, he's not a stupid man, frankly, he's not. And he should not be considered as such. But what he failed to do is a very easy lesson that as a former prosecutor and trial attorney, we all have to learn. And that is, sometimes the facts just don't go in your favor.
You have
to concede some points. And there certainly were opportunities for concession. And what concession looked like was Philadelphia police force had some corruption and they were having a lot of issues. Chicago, same thing. I mean, you have to think about that there are concessions that should have been made and that would have enhanced his credibility.
But here's the deal, though. But the problem is when you lie on Fox News, when you say, oh, we got rid of police brutality in the 60s.
Yes.
Which isn't a fact,
and it's not credible. You could.
And then it was like, you define police brutality.
You can disagree with, I guess, Black Lives Matter protesting, but I think it's very hard to make the argument that the validity of their concerns aren't true, aren't real.
Right.
Because that's not the case. And so I think perhaps if you look at it from a different perspective, perhaps if your perception of what their everyday looks like, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about this since the last time we had a conversation about this, and my perspective has changed, though I haven't had their exact experiences. Gotcha. And I think if you do that and you reflect upon these things, then you're able to say, okay, there's some legitimacy here. We do have to look at this. We do have to tackle this.
Hold tight 1 second. We come back. I want to deal with what's happening in Chicago. This Laquan McDonald case. Yes. All of a sudden.
Right.
All of a sudden, police officials and prosecutors are now acting. I wonder why. We'll explain when we come back. News 1 Now, TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
For more than a year, officials in Chicago fought to keep the video of the death of Laquan McDonald from being released. Last week, a judge said release it by November 25th. Now, all of a sudden, Chicago is now acting. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the officer, Jason Van Dyke, who shot Laquan McDonald 16 times, is going to be charged today. A video is supposed to be released tomorrow. You have Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who has called the video hideous. Why all of a sudden are prosecutors and political officials in Chicago now responding to Laquan McDonald video only after the judge said release the video? Back to Laura Coates, Shermichael Singleton, Drew Elons. Laura, I want to start with you. This is amazing to me. You cannot convince me that Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez planned on moving on this officer before that judge issued that ruling.
You know, well, the grand jury, if they're indicting him, would have been meeting before the judge made his ruling. So that may not be the case, that the grand jury may have actually been in the works.
No, that's indicted.
Well, yes.
The report says he's going to be charged.
Right.
So the mayor's come out and said, calling for calm, saying the video is hideous. They settled for $5 million with the family before they even filed the lawsuit.
Yes.
So they knew what was on this videotape.
They did, and the reason that people should be so upset about this is because what this is, it's a paternalistic and patronizing viewpoint, because it says you all can't handle what's the truth right now, and if you actually heard the truth, there would be chaos and protest. When in reality, if we had the truth and had an open and transparent form of government that said you get to see what homicide really looks like from a police officer when a young man walking away allegedly with a knife has 16 shots to his back, that would actually counteract the protest. We would actually have the transparency.
But here's the problem. It took place on October 20, 2014.
Right.
So you had that video from day one. So you're telling me it took you 13 months to go, five other officers chose not to shoot. One did. But it took you 13 months to come to that conclusion. Now, they tried to run the clock out, and it wasn't until that Freedom of Information request was filed to get this tape released where they went, oh, crap, We now got to get ahead of this, because if we don't act before this tape comes out, it's going to be hell to pay.
See, this is a very dangerous precedent to set, Roland, and I'm surprised conservatives and Republicans aren't coming out against this, because, you know, we're all for small government. We're all afraid of the government encroaching on our freedoms, etc.
Also, fiscal conservatives, and that was $5 million plus some taxpayer money spent.
It's extremely dangerous when we have government, law enforcement, and the structures of government hiding things from the public. That's such a very, very dangerous sentiment, if you will. And I think I'm glad the reporter requested that, because the truth sometimes hurts, Roland, but sometimes knowing the truth is the only way we can fix the problems that we're facing.
So, Sharmichael, you know, for years we've always had where government hides something.
Oh, of course.
And we go back, this goes back to my main point about accountability. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have the Freedom of Information Act is the reason why we got this. The fact that we have Black Lives Matters pushing and stating that we need to hear more about what's going on, that's why we hear this. Mm-hmm. The problem is that even as Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and even as we have these people coming out and making the indictment, the charge on this cop, the problem is it took over a year. And the problem is people already knew. If somebody is shot 16 times, you knew October, whatever the 20th. Day after, yes, October 20th, exactly what happened. So that county, that prosecutor, whatever they're called, they should have already started that process. They should have already made it transparent. They should have already said, this is what's happening.
Real quick,
we're gonna go to it. It shouldn't squash anything.
And Laura, real quick, yesterday in Cleveland, mm-hmm. protesters delivered petitions
right.
to Tim McGinty's office
right.
calling for him to recuse himself
right.
in the Tamir Rice case.
Right.
Same thing, a year later, no action.
And that
no
and
action.
The thing is, it should not take a FOIA if request to actually happen. And as a former prosecutor, let me tell you, the only people that get that deference of time where it takes you more than
right.
16 minutes to indict somebody or 16 minutes to actually charge somebody mm-hmm. are police mm-hmm. officers. Mm-hmm. I routinely made decisions about felonies and very violent crimes in under 6 minutes.
Yes.
And that in itself was a luxury because you have probable cause. I'm not trying to figure out beyond a reasonable doubt. What I'd like, that's for a jury.
Or in the case in Cleveland where he's going around getting expert witnesses on use of force.
Right. And it's the kind of thing that makes people and should question. The grand jury is a secret part, but not because we're trying to be deceptive. It's secret to protect people from having to give their personal information
yes.
and to help witness security. It's not to undermine justice. And that's what's happening in Chicago.
Hold tight right. 1 second. When we come back, we're going to give you an update on the Daniel Holdsclaw trial. You know, that trial in yes. Oklahoma, where a cop raped 13 black women, and mainstream media, 24-hour cable news networks, can't figure out 2 minutes to cover the trial. We'll talk about that next on News 1 Now TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, welcome back to News One Now. The trial of former Oklahoma City police officer Daniel Holdsclaw heads into day 13 yesterday. One of the women who says that he raped her had to testify, tearful testimony. Attorney Ben Crump, of course, who is the president of the National Bar Association, he was actually at the trial. Shelley, go to my iPad, please. This is what he tweeted.
Yep.
Rape trial. Defense attorney aggressively saying, if you did get raped by police, why didn't you call the police and report it?
Yeah.
And he said, also Ben said, that when she came to court, she came shackled in an orange jumpsuit while Holdsclaw got to sit there in a suit and tie.
What? That's absurd. I was a sexual assault prosecutor. And the idea that you have 13 women who are claiming this against a police officer and they are not afforded the same benefit that every defendant, which is you cannot walk in with an orange jumpsuit. They get to have, even the marshals in the courtroom.
They're witness.
Yeah, even them, they have on the plain clothes.
She's the victim.
She's right. the victim. It is absurd. What it did was try to discredit. And what this is.
So you got an all-white jury.
Of a yes. larger problem.
Police officer.
Woman.
And here's a woman in an orange jumpsuit in handcuffs
and, so you don't
and
want
shackles.
Her. You don't right. want to believe her. And that is exactly the reason why you have to fight to even get people's prior criminal history into a trial, because it makes a stigma and a scarlet letter. Unless, of course, you were killed by the police and then you have your criminal history right. all over the media, and then it's okay. But that's what is such a disturbing part of this case, because once again, part of the larger problem, a police officer's word is treated as the truth and everybody else, the common man, is discredited.
For me, it just it's not, it's just disgusting. And further, What it shows to me is the further denigration of African-American women. This man took total advantage, disgracing African-American women, even through the choosing of the juries, even having this woman come in there already tearful, and to the audacity to say, if you're raped by the police, why didn't you go to the police? You already know that he is in a position of power, mm-hmm. and he's exerted that power over her, and so why would she go right back to that power to even say something?
Right.
Say
Michael, 30 seconds.
Why would you call the police as if they're going to act against themselves? No one's going to act against their own self-interest. That's absolutely illogical.
It's been proven.
Exactly. I think the fact of the matter is you've had this guy rape 13 women. 13 women aren't just going to make this stuff up. There's a pretty high probability that these things did indeed incur.
Or as Ben Crow tweeted, Ben Crow said, so they covered Bill Cosby left and right with a number of accusers of mainstream
ignoring this trial. I agree. And I think it's unfortunate. And these types of injustices are why people don't trust the criminal justice system, Roland. Mm-hmm. These systems are in place to protect the people, to keep the people safe. And that's not what the systems are doing. And that's unfortunate.
So, folks, we certainly will keep you abreast of this case. And again, I don't understand why mainstream media is ignoring this. And I would say to all those black journalists who are working at cable news networks, what the hell are y'all doing? If you're hosting a show, Don Lemon, how are you not covering this? How are you not covering this story? A cop allegedly raping 13 women? Yeah, I think somebody can find time on the 24-hour news cycle to cover this story. Tomorrow, saxophone great Ronnie Law is right here on News One Now on TV One. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.